Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch podcast. I, of course, am G-Money. I am joined by a cornucopia of guests this evening, as well as my hosts. I was I was admonished by my father in an email, just to let you guys know, this past week, because he watched an episode of the NerdWatch on YouTube. I don't have my phone with me, but he admonished me for using the word too much. So I'm going to do my level best to avoid saying that.
That's actually a pretty presidential word.
your opinion, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I got admonished by my dad. He enjoys watching I did it again. He enjoys watching the YouTube channel. So I'm going to try my best to avoid doing that and take his advice. Yes, sir.
Money.
You guys are so horrible.
The NerdWatch with Money.
Stop it. No? I'm joined by Todd Bernardi.
Hi.
I did it again. Todd Bernardi, the comic book artist extraordinaire. He is the man who is responsible for the Kukui Project. He is also responsible for
Disco
Thunder Groove Bone, and
he's kind
Hard Candy
of
Aftermath. Yeah,
I don't know if
you can check out all his comic books right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. I'm also joined by the gaming guru himself. Format is in the house tonight as well.
Oh, that's you.
And tonight, Alika is here.
I am.
And he does have a Switch controller at his station, but it's not in his hand. We're hoping that he's here to enjoy the guests that we have this evening. For the next few minutes here, for the next 30, 45 minutes, we're going to be focusing on one guest, and then the next guest we'll do as a YouTube exclusive episode or Facebook Live episode. So I am joined, first off, by a reoccurring guest who happens to be here this evening. James Silvani is in the house. He is the man who is the artist of Darkwing Duck. Hashtag save Darkwing. You can check that out right now on Twitter. We had him here for Maui Comic Con for the 25th anniversary of Darkwing Duck. And I'm going to let the latest guest introduce himself. We'll be talking to him first. So, guest, pick up that microphone here and introduce yourself, sir.
My name is Adi Alad.
Adi Alad, and you, sir, are responsible for some of these folks' childhoods. Is that not correct?
I guess so. You know, they say I'm the power behind, but I'm not sure. Just one of them. I'm a film and TV editor, basically by trade. And in 1993, we got this kids thing going on, editing a show for Fox. It was basically for Fox Kids, just launched.
Right.
And it was called something like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Adi, sir,
little TV show.
That's that. You mean that multi-billion-dollar? What would you call it? Superhero franchise.
You mean those five teenagers in spandex sold to Disney for $5.3 billion?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one? Is that the one? So you, sir, have done your work with Chaim Saban. Is that correct?
I can demonstrate how Chaim works.
Okay.
So back in the day, it was a mom-and-pop shop. We're a very small company.
Mm-hmm.
And Chaim watched every frame from the dailies. He would come to my edit bay. By the way, he never wears socks. Takes his shoes off. And puts his feet right in front of my keyboard. I'm like, Chaim, off. I'm about to eat falafel. Come on, give me a break. Chaim was sharp. Chaim knew everything. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what he wanted. And even though in the beginning we said, once we air, we're not going to have work anymore. But
right.
Hey, guess what? It's still going and going.
It never stops. There is at this point, there has to be at least two handfuls of iterations of the Power Rangers, at least. At least we're talking about at least 20 different iterations of the Power Rangers at this point.
Season 25 is happening.
Goodness gracious!
We started in 93.
And there's offshoots of those Power Rangers as well, which is insane. It just keeps going and going. So let's talk a little bit about where you started from, sir. Let's talk about your origins and how you got into the business.
Well, I was born in Israel, but raised in Chicago. So I'm Middle East meet Midwest kind of person.
Nice.
Never really belonged anywhere. In Israel, I was the American boy, and in the States, I was like the Israeli guy. But I'm on Maui now. I'm here. Yes, baby. I belong, finally.
So now you just identify as other?
Yeah,
got
basically.
It.
when I left Israel, just had to go to college in New York, I had three dreams kind of thing to accomplish. And that's the reason I left. One of them was to work on a project that has a major social ramification in the world, but I'm not famous from it. Boy, what did I ask for? The other two, never mind. But this is the one that, you know, so wishes come true. Watch what you wish for.
You went to school specifically for...
I went to New York to Hunter College to study film production and writing and editing and all that kind of stuff. And moved on to edit for the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center, their Playwright Conference every summer in Connecticut. That was an honor. I got to work with people like George Roy Hill.
You got to work with George Roy Hill?
George was my buddy.
That is insane. Right? He is a fantastic director.
Who's this guy?
George Roy Hill is responsible for great movies like Sting.
Sting. Slaughterhouse-Five.
Slaughterhouse-Five.
Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. That's the one that was the tip of my tongue.
And on.
The great Waldo Pepper as well.
I just got off taking a class about him, and then I get to work with him. Like, oh, my God. And I'm like, it's you. It's George. And he goes, why are you shaking? I'm like, because it's you. And he goes, no, I'm shaking. I have Parkinson's. I'm the one that's shaking. You relax.
Yeah.
You know. But he told me a really nice trivia. I hurt my back in that production that summer, and he took me to the set. I'm like, listen, you saw Butch Cassidy? I'm like, oh, of course. He directed that lying down on a bed on a stretcher the whole time. I'm like, but it's an action movie. I'm like, yep, I hurt my back, couldn't move, had to lie down.
That's
how I directed that movie, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's one of my Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid is probably one of my favorite westerns. Yeah. I grew up with that. Mm-hmm. Great movie. That is crazy.
Right?
And
then my buddies
shocking.
Back then were people that we all like want to make it in the business. So we're talking Fran McDormand and Joel and Ethan, and we're talking Jane Castor.
The Coens.
Kate Burton. Yeah, oh, that's the group that I started with.
Those are just your buds.
Wow.
We were nobodies back then. None of us were anything, you know? Like,
that is
any
insane.
Any of these guys owe you money?
Chaim does. I'm going to make sure he hears this.
The Coens, of course, are responsible for great films like Fargo, which is one of my favorite films of all time. They also did a film called A Serious Man, which is actually a very underrated Coen film, which I suggest everybody see. And the latest film they did was Hail Caesar, which is another very good film as well. So The Big Lebowski, The Big Lebowski.
The cult classic.
Yeah, and it goes on and on.
So you, sir, cut your teeth in the business.
So, I mean, after working with George, it's all downhill from there.
I'm sure.
There's nowhere to go off from there.
I'm sure. So what brought you to Chaim's doorstep?
Okay, I'm in L.A.
Okay.
I was cutting trailers at the time in a small trailer house. We did small trailers, not big ones. We're talking like Dazed and Confused.
Small trailers.
What else? Small movies. What's that Tarantino first movie?
Oh, Pulp Fiction?
No, before that.
Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs.
Small movie with a lot of gunshots.
Small movies.
Yeah. It was again, nobody's back then. I did trailers for nobody's. So anyhow, someone told me there's an opening at the Power Rangers show. I'm like, what's the Power Rangers? It's a kids show thing. They have Japanese footage. They're going to integrate it. So I called the producer at the time, and he didn't respond to my call. And I tried to call Chaim Saban himself. Of course, didn't respond. So I called his partner, Shuki Levy, and his assistant, Nancy, answered. And I just somehow went, hey, Nancy, what's up? It's Adi. Is Shuki in? I'm like talking like I'm the best. She goes, oh my God, Ari, 1 second. And she passed me through. And Shuki said, okay, hey, who are you? I'm like, Ari. I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. It's like, okay, you have a minute. So listen, you need me. I'm going to be your editor for the show. He goes, what do you mean? It's like, yeah, you just can't do it without me. He goes, okay, come in. I'll screen test you as an editor. I'll let you cut some stuff for me. If you like it, you're in. That's it. I got in, you know, kind of thing. They gave me kind of like a test to combine Zords and monsters from different episodes to see if we can mix and match without anyone noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it. And then he comes to my office and he goes, hey, did you see Chaim? I'm like, Chaim who? Because I haven't met the guy yet. And he goes, he's coming to see you. I'm like, okay. So he came to look at the stuff. They're all like, you know, and we're all talking in Hebrew. All the, you know, English-speaking people in the department had no idea what's going on. And then finally, Chaim asked me, So what do you think? I'm like, about the scene. He goes, no, f*** the scene. Sorry, I say that.
That's okay.
And he goes, about me and Shuki. I'm like, oh, if two guys can talk, two friends like you can talk to each other because they swear at each other all the time. Mm-hmm. And I go, then, you know, like you guys are, you know, kind of cool, I think. He goes, okay, that thing of that scene you just cut, piece of s***. Welcome to the family. And from there on, that established our relationship, basically. I would come to the production building every day in the middle of a lobby, kind of like drop my bag, and my good morning was like, what the F is going on here kind of thing. You know, and I did that in front of Murdoch and all kind of people like that, too. I had no shame back then.
Wow.
But it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I would say I worked on the Power Rangers for 3 years. I edited about 90-something episodes. Best job of my life. Ever.
Really?
It's like going to work and playing with a toy. You know, it's like, even though we were really cutting infomercials to sell toys
right.
for a lot of money.
But that was kind of like the best TV. I mean, when they passed the laws that TV had to be educational, it was like it started turning really crappy. And I think people don't understand the educational value in something being imaginative and just weird for the sake of it.
And also we work with DARE. We did PSAs.
Yeah.
Every episode had a message.
Yeah.
Always. There was, as cheesy as it was, we always had a positive message for the kids. I mean, kids start taking classes in martial arts all over the country, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were once accused of something that happened in Europe that actually had to do with the Ninja Turtles, not with us.
I love to hear that story.
Violent, enticing at all.
Those
we actually
pricks.
Made... When you do martial arts, you're not about violence. You're about discipline, you know? It's like, so it was all positive, like, you know.
And, you know, speaking to the point of the editing and how you had to make it so nobody knew that it was, like, a bunch of different shows edited together. As a kid, like, you know, we had no clue in America, you know. Of course, if you had known the Sentai or whatever, you would know. But, and then when I learned... probably not that long ago, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, I learned that it was originally a Japanese show that got, you know, edited. I was like, what the hell? And then it was more than one different version of that Japanese show.
Well, that's how it started. We got Japanese footage, so we used only the Zord fights and the costume fights from that in the beginning. In Japan, Power Rangers is actually a sitcom for adults. It's very vulgar. It's not what we're right. involved in here.
Right.
We only use the fights kind of thing footage, and we totally Americanized it and changed the concept of the show
so
to match our needs here.
So the concept of Sentai isn't like as kid friendly as it is.
Not
here.
At all. Zero.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
it was bloody. It was sexual.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff like
growing
that.
Growing up here, it's a different story because I don't know if you know this, Adi, but
the Yellow Ranger's a boy.
Growing up in growing up in Hawaii, it was
proof
a
for that.
we actually were exposed as youths to. The original
there's NHK
Sentai's.
And Nippon Golden Network that's
right,
available here.
Right,
so
and Kiku. We
Japanese
used to watch Kiku, Channel 11.
KIKU.
So we had exposure to a lot of the original Japanese.
But I don't remember as a kid seeing the original Sentai.
They were edited for sure.
I remember seeing, like, you know, Kamen Rider and
V3 and
I don't know if there's anywhere we can see it now, but I highly if there's access for it, I highly recommend watching it. It's hysterical. It's like, wow. Yeah.
You should check one out called Rainbow Man, which one of our friends turned me on to before, which is really good.
In Japan, they live their violence through TV and film, basically. So it was extremely violent, something we never did. We didn't have, like, head punches and stuff like that, you know. Our church lady, you know, head of broadcast standards, and she didn't allow us to do that. We eventually had to buy her by putting her in the show.
Oh.
Herself, smoothing her out kind of thing so we can do more things.
She was the standards and practices lady in the show.
And, you know, you guys want some, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff that we did?
Sure, sure.
You know, like, and every episode, that was my signature. I would put something that doesn't belong there. Like, we would have, I think the biggest one that I did, I recall, was Balkan Skull had a scene and they're dressed as fairies and somehow Bulk fell on Skull in the park. And start pretending to hump him kind of thing as an outtake. And then...
What's the episode number?
So I totally
to watch this right now.
Put that outtake, and I had Amy Jo that played Kimberly, said, Balkan Skull, what are you guys doing? And then continue, and she's asking again. I totally put it for the church lady, just so she can tell us, please remove scene from this time to that time zone, so she can ignore everything else. That was the trick. We always gave her something that... If one episode I didn't do it, the head of Fox Kids said, and Margaret said, where's your joke? I wait for your jokes all the time. You know? It was fun.
Yeah, for sure. I've heard stories about standards and practices. Some of it's just a little ridiculous.
Yes,
for sure. So what you what tore you away after those three seasons? Because that show was still going. I mean, it was in its prime.
It was going. And there was a change of everything creative in the show after 3 years. Mm-hmm. Basically, new producer, new directors, new writers, new cast. And they decided new editors, new everything kind of thing. You know?
Wow.
I don't want to get into personal agendas.
Sure,
kind of thing,
sure.
But you know, after 3 years doing that, like, it's time to move on. Kind
for
of thing.
Sure.
Like, it was a lot of work. I sometimes work 80 hours a week, you know. I sometimes did 40-hour days, you know.
Well, a show like that, I mean, a lot of people hear that someone's the editor of a TV show and they don't, you know, pay much mind. Okay, they edit, every TV show needs an editor. But when you're dealing with other footage and turning it into the TV show, the editor basically is, you know, creating most of the show.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Like, I think, you know, the way the script were written, the performances we had, the footage we got, we had to create it in the edit bay. We had to change storylines to make it work, you know.
Right.
The opening of season 2, I believe, when we introduced Lord Zedd. But that time we shot a lot of that. The Japanese films slowly went away.
Yeah, because Lord Zedd's the first American
sure. Basically, yeah. Character. Yeah, and so I remember cutting that in June. Mm-hmm. And I was about to go to Israel for a vacation for 2 weeks. And I told Chaim and Shuki, listen, I'm going on vacation. Someone else continues. It's like, nope, you will do it when you come back. Don't worry about it. Like, yeah, but we're airing in September. So I come back 2 weeks later, and I got all the footage, and it was supposed to be a two-part opener. Mm-hmm. And I went to Chaim, listen, I have another 20 minutes. We can do three-parter here. I'm missing 5 minutes to make it to time, and I'm missing the right cliffhanger in the TV in the shows. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what do you need, Adi? Tell me. I'm like, I need one day of shooting and with some scenes to shoot. He goes, you go deal with that on the set. I do the deal. He calls me about a week later or something, goes, okay, we got a deal. We're airing in July. I'm like, ooh, whoa, 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 whoa. We don't have time to make it to July. It's June now. It's like, no, we're airing in July. I cut a deal with Fox. But Fox Kids decided the first time network ever did it to break the mold of the season.
Wow.
And to air the Power Rangers in July, 3 nights in a row at 8 o'clock so that parents can see it with their kids and see what the kids are watching.
Wow.
Genius move. And usually he got paid X amount per episode. For these, he got paid times 4 per episode.
Wow.
He demanded money, like, so, you know.
Wow.
That's when I realized I can now go and buy a house.
But you didn't get paid X times 4, did you?
No, but I went to buy a house after that. I realized my seat is secure here. I'm good, you know. It's like,
so you cut your teeth doing trailers, and then you got into cutting the television show. Do you find yourself ever preening or wanting to be the guy who sits behind the camera and directs and does all of that other stuff? Or do you enjoy the edit?
I love the editing.
Do you?
Trust me. Like, you know, when I go to the set and they're shooting and they ask me if everything okay, trust me, I'm directing it. That's what it feels like. But I have no interest in being on a set. I worked on a set before. It's not my thing. I'm mm-hmm. a post-production guy.
I should keep that mic right there.
I'm totally a post-production guy. I just,
are you?
Yeah, I really like doing that.
Now, interestingly enough, because I thought I'd bring this up just because it's a very controversial subject, and since you are an editor, there has been a lot of conversation about how the editors were responsible for the cut of the Suicide Squad, and I was wondering what your take on that was.
Wow,
since you are a professional in the field,
yeah. I enjoyed it, but I, you know, this is the thing.
Did it seem like it to you as an editor? Did the movie seem that way?
I tell you what, I sometimes go into a movie as an editor, and then I don't enjoy the movie, and then I criticize it like there's no tomorrow.
Okay.
And then sometimes, like, Adi, let go.
Okay.
Just
gotcha,
let go. Enjoy gotcha. Someone else's work. Don't judge it, you know.
Right.
So I let go in this one. Yeah. Sometimes I just let go. Just so you know, I saw the Power Rangers with Barry.
Right.
But I
Barry
walked
Wars
in.
Professor Barry, okay.
And I walked in as an editor, and I hated it. I'm like, what is going on? I'm going to call Chaim now. I'm just like, what are you doing? But then 3 days ago, my partner wanted to go see it because he didn't see it. I'm like, okay, let's go. And I gave him, he started on the way as we're driving, he goes, ay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, okay, let go of all that. Like, really, let go.
I didn't see it. Did Alpha give any IIIs in the movie?
Different. Okay. I told him, let go of whatever you remember from your childhood.
Right.
And let's walk in. And I took that advice to myself, and I enjoyed it so much. Great film. I just like, oh, my God, I get it now.
That is insane.
You know?
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Mr. Silvani. You have the floor, sir.
If I may. So there was always the great, or there's always the theory that Star Wars, the success of Star Wars was not due to George Lucas, but due to his wife, who was the editor of the original Star Wars, Marcia Lucas.
I would say totally yes. I would agree with that.
Wow.
I totally agree with that.
I think the prequels would be the best proof that that might be the case. But she was like the one person who was not a yes man.
For editors usually are not. Actually, the one of the reasons I, like, without naming names, I moved on from the Power Rangers was the new producer came to me and accused me of being opinionated. I'm like, well, thank you. That's a compliment for me. Because you can't be an editor if you're not opinionated.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
You get
you can't put
10 takes.
There,
you got
to
judge performances. You got to do it right. You know, the thing is, as editors, nobody knows what we do. You know, the best editing is when you don't see their work. If you don't see the editing, the editor did an amazing job, basically. If you saw their work, something's wrong. If you had a problem emotionally in the way and they cut you off, it's mostly the editor's fault, you know, kind of thing.
Interesting. Interesting. Because we never think about it, but when you're sitting in that edit bay, you are technically crafting the story, the overarching story of any film.
Yeah, because the director can just go in and just shoot everything for 300 hours and just give the footage to the editor and be like, here you go, buddy.
Here,
and
make
you
a
never
movie
know
out
what
of
you
this.
Got. You never know what you got until you start editing it. Like, you know, and it's not only crafting the story, it's timing, it's pacing, it's order of scenes, you know, it's the way the story is told. It's, you know, the emotions come out in the editing bay, basically. You know, when you look at the dailies, they're kind of boring, you know.
Well, to be honest, you have to have a certain brain that when you see footage that is out of order, and then you are the person that needs to put it together, you need to somehow have a brain that is just compartmentalize this. Okay, well, this should go here and this should go here. Okay, we got to move this back here. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I look at all the dailies, all the footage. By the time I'm done for per scene, I know what I'm doing already.
Goodness gracious.
I know what takes I want. I get it, you know.
So how long does it take for you? So let's start with an example. How long would it take you to cut one episode of the Power Rangers?
Well, we shot in clusters. We shot four episodes at a time. Based on locations, basically. Mm-hmm. So it took 2 weeks to shoot.
Okay.
And I would get two episodes to cut. Another editor would get two episodes to cut. And we would have 2 weeks to come up with our first cut.
Okay.
And then it goes to notes, internal level, and then, you know, extra, and then network level and all that kind of. So until we lock picture, we're like 4 weeks in.
Wow.
You know, it's a process. And then it has to go to special effects. Music department, sound effects, you know, it's like the visual effects, which were back then were so different from what we do today, obviously.
Now that leads me right into my next question. And by the way, if anybody else has any questions, please feel free, as Mr. Silvani did, except for you. No, I'm just kidding. What brings you to the lovely island of Maui?
Oh, my God. There's anywhere else to live?
There's a ton of places to live.
I moved originally to the Big Island. Because this is something that the Power Ranger fans will appreciate. I actually lost my house to a wildfire in California in 2009. It was the biggest wildfire in Southern California. And I didn't know about my fan base of the Power Rangers in the mainland, but that brought them all out, and they all lent so much support to the loss. A year later, I decided to move to the Big Island because I was there all the time anyhow, because I love it so much. I'll go back to the fire because I lost something very important to the Power Ranger base.
Okay, okay.
I was about 6 months full-time in the Big Island. Came to Maui for a weekend, for a staycation. A week later, I moved here. Didn't know anybody here.
That's like half the people on this island story.
Basically. But it's true. I don't know why. It's kind of like Pelé burn my house, send me to the Big Island so I can come to Maui kind of thing. You know, I'm just...
All right, before we get into
here I am. I belong to Maui now. Like, Maui owns me, you know.
So. Now, since you're here on Maui, please tell us, what is it that you lost in the fire?
Well, I did a very, very special rap party outtake reel for the Power Rangers for the first three seasons.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not only did I cut that, and not only that it was amazing, it was like 20 minutes long and just out of this world, a little bit X-rated, but
I was going to say, are there nude scenes in there?
Not nude, but it's kind of X-rated. I made it, you know, like with my imagination. But and it screened at our rap party, basically. Only two actors were kind of like really personally insulted in it, so I came to them before the screen. Hey, by the way, don't take it personally. And then at the end of it, Haim comes to me. He's like, you know, who has the copies of this? Like, only me. It's like, okay, you keep one copy. Nobody has copies anymore. He didn't want anybody to ever get it.
Wow.
Now, if I had it now, oh my God, I would have said
internet.
It was just out of this world. Absolutely. I actually had the set produce stuff for me, outtakes especially. That's where we have unique stuff kind of thing. It was out of this world. It was really, really amazing, you know. Thing.
Now, you come to Maui because you love it so much. You lost your house. You moved to Big Island and then realized that the Big Island wasn't the island to be on.
Nope.
Which is obvious. But no disrespect to our Big Island fans, by the way.
And to enjoy comics over on Big Island.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry, guys.
Sorry, guys. You know, we all know that Maui's there.
Yeah, Maui, no glory.
I love Puna. Yeah. I still love Puna. Like,
yeah, yeah. Now, you come here and you find yourself in a position where you are needed as an editor with a brand new movie. Is that not correct?
Totally unexpected. About six, when I moved here, they opened the big studios, the 20,000 square feet of Branscombe and the other two partners.
Yeah.
And they did a job fair, and about 1,000 people showed up from the island that used to work in the film industry, which is amazing to see so many people. Mm-hmm. And then Lilia Kane, which is a manager kind of thing, she's used to be an actress, and told me, go talk to that guy over there, Brian. I'm like, who's he? Like, who? He just finished, get a job. He's selling DVDs around the town, like you know.
That was the latest film with Willie Kay
and Eric
Gilliam. Yeah.
So I went and talked to Brian, told him who I am, and he goes, "Where have you been all my life?" And he goes, "I needed you 2 years ago because I had to cut get a job myself."
Mm-hmm. Oh, he did that himself.
Yeah, the first editor didn't pan out. He had to cut it himself. It was really hard for him. It took him about a year to do that. He goes, "You could have saved my life. You cutting my next film." I'm like, "Okay."
Done deal. And that film is?
Kuleana.
Kuleana. Could you give us a little bit about what Kuleana is and when we can expect to see it?
Sure. So Kuleana, which means responsibility, for those of you that don't know what it means. It's
the Jewish guy telling us what Hawaiian
means. Right? Yeah.
No,
you guys. Talk about the audience.
Great mansplanation.
Great job.
You will be amazed how many people want to ask, what is Kuleana? Basically, a film by Brian Cohen. He wrote it, directed it. He's been writing it for 12 years now.
Really? That long?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
He just did an interview with Kainoa, one of our actors, on Maui Watch, Maui Watch or something like that, a few days ago.
Yeah, yeah. He did it with Professor Barry, I believe.
Yeah. So basically, it's about a Vietnam, disabled Vietnam vet, basically, accused of murder.
Oh, so it's a period piece.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And he now needs to find the warrior from within to save his family, the land, and clear his name, basically. It's a murder mystery drama. It takes place in the 70s, 1971 to be exact.
But crosses many eras, I noticed by the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a big flashback to 1959.
Wow.
And those are, you know, years that are very pivotal to Hawaiian culture.
Sure, statehood.
You know, state and the language barrier, you know, Ko'olawe still being bombed, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, even though the story lives on its own, the backdrop is everything you can think Hawaiian culture, the language, the olele, mm-hmm. the sugar barons, you know, the water controllers, the developers, all that, you know, is touched upon in this film.
Sure.
I would say, you know, not to insult George Clooney, but everything he was trying to do in The Descendants, we actually achieved to do. I think. You guys will be the judge.
You hear that, Clooney?
You guys will be
you
the judge.
Suck.
But,
no,
you know,
I'm just kidding.
No, not
I'm just kidding.
He's cool. He's actually really cool. But so we are. The trailer is out. On, if you guys want to see the trailer, it's on the Facebook page called Hawaii Cinema.
Also on the Kuleana Movie Facebook page, I'll point out, because that might be easier to find for some people.
And then we are going to screen at the Maui Film Festival on
Fantastic.
June 23rd. It's a Friday.
The Celestial Cinema.
Are you guys doing Celestial Cinema?
Actually, yes.
Fantastic.
And after us, there'll be two documentaries. So the Surfers will have their thing as well. But highly recommend watching it. It's
the best movies always get the Celestial Cinema, I notice.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to cut together Kuleana?
It's coming to a year. We started in May. We shot in May.
Wow.
And I started there, and now we're fine-tuning a little stuff here and there. right now.
As a side note, they actually shot some scenes upstairs here at the Akaku Studios.
Huh. Yep, and we also shot in the parking lot in the back here.
Yeah, yep. Willie K was here one day. It was the same day Jim Lee was here in store.
No way.
I ran up to Willie K, and he must have been in character because he was like, get away from me, kid.
And by the way, if you
don't... He's in the comics.
If you don't know, Kuleana has some amazing local... base actors. A lot of them have moved to California, but they're all from Hawaii, which is very cool. And actually, one of the actresses is she's a lead in the new Inhumans.
Sonia
Palmer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a lead in the new Inhumans television show, which is very cool. Yeah. That's shooting in Hawaii, obviously.
Yeah, shooting in Oahu today.
Yeah.
ABC. And I told Sonia when she got the role. Say goodbye to your private life. It's over.
And especially with Marvel fans, it's like double trouble. We just won't let you sleep.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So, it's going to be huge. Yeah.
So Marvel fans are the worst.
So you've enjoyed your time on Kuleana?
I love it. I was editing intensely for 9 months. And then I went to the, you know, music, Willie K, and did the music. And then we went to sound mix, went on the Big Island.
Mm-hmm.
Special effects, someone from Oahu. Basically, Hawaii movie. I would say, besides two, it's all Hawaii cast and crew. Really, either they lived here or live here now or born here. Like, you know, it's a really Hawaii-based film.
So here's a question, and I know you won't answer it because you have to be political, but...
What?
Politically correct.
Yeah, political, because... Hey, no. You came out here, I'm assuming, to get away from the rigmarole of...
From the stress. Of Hollywood.
What would convince you to get into doing Kuleana?
It's special.
Really?
It's like, wow. It's like, when you guys see it, you'll get why I did it. It's just like, Brian gave me the script back six years ago, and I read it, the version that was back then, and I'm like, wow, this is going to be amazing.
Wow.
You know, it's like, and he's been, you know, I've been helping him, giving him notes. A lot of people gave him notes, you know, over the years, and we shaped it to the point like, okay, I think it's time to shoot now. We're ready.
Kind of thing.
It's a very special story. It's not just another indie movie that's coming out. You know, it's, and I'm not just bragging about what I did, but it's a unique film. I think it's going to get a life of its own. Once people see it, it's going to sell itself.
Fantastic.
It's pretty brilliant.
Adi, and you are responsible for all the editing. Is that
yes,
not correct?
That's
Man,
correct.
That is insane.
A lot of work.
Now, our other guest, James Silvani, you guys just met tonight, correct? Yeah,
correct.
You guys ended up having some crossover, you know, as far as your connection to Chaim Saban. Is that not correct?
Yeah, I guess in a roundabout sort of way.
Uh-huh.
My cousin was, I guess, your boss?
No, she didn't work on the power and she worked on the animated stuff, kind of animated TV shows.
X-Men
she was, X-Men and all that kind of stuff that we did, you know, to name a few. If anyone doesn't know, the X-Men, the animated show, started with Saban, kind of thing. And that's the beginning of Marvel and entities. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so a big trivia. I know that. I just dropped
now
it.
Now I kind of have like a duty to go back and watch every Power Rangers episode.
I thought you knew that.
Because Marvel fans are the worst.
I didn't know Saban was responsible for the
Yeah, well,
the
this is
X-Men.
The Marvel story. First of all, so Dana Buten, basically, she was a director in post-production department. She's still working with Saban, actually. I will make sure to say hi to her tomorrow and make sure she hears this, of course.
Yeah.
But... before the Power Rangers, actually, Avi Arad bought this thing called Marvel, which was worth nothing at the time.
Yeah,
he bought it for nothing.
It's strange because when it's funny you bring up Avi Arad because when we came in, Gannon, one of our other castmates, said, "Oh, Avi Arad's coming," and I was like, "No, it's not Avi Arad." But he said, "If it is Avi, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind about Spider-Man 3." And I was like, "Well, now that we know that you know him, maybe."
Well, obviously. Old Marvel. He doesn't own it. He's
right.
Not a consultant, but
right,
you know,
right.
But he came to Chaim and he said, "Okay, I bought this Marvel thing. What do we do with this?" And Chaim said, "Let's produce. Let's find one of the comic books and produce it into an animated show." And they picked X-Men as the first one.
It's probably the best interpretation of the X-Men that exists out there,
and it was
outside of comics.
It was prime time. It wasn't for kids, kind of thing. And Chaim cut a deal with him. I'll never forget. They go, "Okay." I'll produce it for you. I want this, I want that. No, Avi Arad was another shrewd businessman. He goes, "Tell you what, I'll pay you to produce it. You keep the music rights, because Chaim is the music guy, and that's it. I make all the profits." You know, and the rest is history, obviously.
So does Saban still own the rights to the X-Men theme song from Fox?
I don't know.
Cartoon?
That will be a...
Because then we'll just start hearing it in Power Rangers shows.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. So now, Avi, now that you finished Kuleana... Are we back to rest and relaxation on Maui, or are we looking for another project?
I'm a photographer. I'm busy. I'm really busy.
Oh, are you? What do you photograph?
I'm photographing families and corporate events and couples and pregnant women on the beach at the resort.
Wow.
With their knowledge, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I work for a company called Pacific Dream Photography. Mm-hmm. We do all the resorts on Maui, based most of the resorts on Maui, and I enjoy walking on the beach in the morning or sunset and shooting people. It's kind of fun.
Really?
Yesterday I was on a boat all day.
With a camera, by the way. With a camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a photographer. I've been one all my life, and I am looking forward for my next editing project. We're hoping that Brian is going to come up with a new project, and then our producer is going to also wants to do something.
Fantastic.
We'll have stuff going on.
So you're not stopping. You're moving.
My only
on.
Condition is no stress.
No,
I don't accept stress.
It's no not, stress.
I want to feel Maui. You know, I'm stressful here.
How long have you been here now?
6 years.
6 years now. Yeah. 6 years. So you are you're indoctrinated into the Maui culture already.
Well, let me tell you this: if you're invited to Kanaela Ng's first birthday, you're in.
Oh, you are in.
Like, wow, it was on Sunday. It was like out of this world. Like, I'm invited to this. Like, okay, I'm in. Okay,
wow, look at you.
I got to warn you because G's
hobnobbing.
He's a pretty right-leaning guy, so Kanaela Ng's not the name you want to be jumping around.
Hobnobbing with all those left-wing politicians.
No, but being invited to your firstborn birthday party,
that's huge.
You know, I just remember the last time I was here was election night.
Yeah, it was election night.
As we watched all the states fall.
Everybody had the drop look on her face.
I was the heartbreak.
Tad Stones was here, who was like just like crying on the inside.
I think I was rubbing it in a little bit because Tad was so frustrated.
He was pretty upset. Tad Stones is the creator of Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck, of course, so it was pretty funny. But Adi, thank you so much for coming to the show tonight.
This was a pleasure.
Certainly appreciate it very, very much.
Stop cheering.
when can we see Kuleana at the Celestial Cinema?
June 23rd.
June 23rd. And you will be there.
I will. The whole cast and crew will be there. We're all coming, basically. And awesome. Mo and Christina are coming from L.A.
Augie
Sonia is... Augie's in the... And yeah, he's going to come. They're all coming.
Yeah.
And
fantastic.
Sonia's coming from Oahu.
You have to shift that minute stop.
You know. That's messed up, bro. That's really messed up.
No, that's awesome is what that is.
I know. It's like they're all going to be here. We're all going to come here.
My favorite part about Augie T is every time he talks, he sounds like he's drunk. It doesn't matter.
But he is amazing.
That's my favorite part, too.
He's amazing in dramatic roles. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know? And comedians are usually like that.
Yeah,
like
deep. It comes from here. You know, it's like it's really amazing. He plays an amazing role in the film. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I didn't get a chance to see Get a Job, but when I saw the trailer for Kuleana, I was really compelled by the subject matter and the story, and I was very...
It's worlds apart.
Yeah, it totally is, and I was, Get a Job may not have interested me as much, but Kuleana seems like this is on another level considering, we don't get a lot of recognition out here. I mean, we've got...
I was into Get a Job.
Yeah, but. We have one one of our friends in Oahu is shooting a film... Go for Broke for her comic or her graphic novel. So it's really cool that we're
Stacy Hayashi. She's on Hawaii News Now.
Yeah. So it's
shutting down of King Street.
It's really cool that we have gentlemen with your caliber of talent to come down and be able to add some flavor to some of these local productions. So for that, I appreciate
that. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Your expertise and your talent bringing it here is something special because we don't get a lot of recognition out here in the islands as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially for film or for television, mm-hmm. we're always the pretty place that you look at. We're the scenery.
We're the backdrop.
Yeah.
We don't like when they come use it for a backdrop. But I can tell you one thing: Kuleana looks nothing like a cheap movie. It looks like an amazing production, even though it was a cheap movie by budget.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it doesn't look like a local film. It looks like a real film.
Does.
Looks like the real deal. It's amazing. It's just, you know.
Yeah, and
I don't want to give too much away about it. Just, you know, go watch it.
All right, well, listen, before I let you go, I want to know where I can get an Audie Wood hat, because that's pretty awesome.
It's only one.
Oh, it's only one?
It's my branding. And when I bought my... I lived in the country in the mountains north of Los Angeles because I hated the stress of the city. And so my best friend brought me a sign, and she it said Audie Wood Land. I'm like, wow, okay, that just stuck, you know.
Fantastic.
And ever since then, it's Audie Wood. But there's a lot more stories about the Power Rangers, so if you guys want me back, I'm having fun here.
Oh,
so
dude,
I'll come back. You know?
I would love to have you back. Everybody that comes here that we interview.
Yeah, we just replaced you.
It's fine. It's fine.
Well, you know what's funny is.
It's because I was demanding too much.
After
money.
Meeting G, you would think nobody would want to come back to this.
And
money.
They all want to come back. It's pretty
James
crazy.
James is here. Yeah. Audie just offered to come back.
Audie just offered himself to come back.
No, I'm having fun. I was nervous about it earlier. I'm like, what?
To be honest, we always enjoy having people here. I try and make them as comfortable as possible. We all do. It's really enjoyable to talk about these things, the nerd culture, which we do, and having you here is very cool, so we certainly appreciate that. And by the way, where can everybody reach you? Where can everybody find you? Are you on social media at all? Can we follow you? Your photography or any of that stuff?
My audio.com, you know? What can I say?
All right, get that. That's for real.
Yes, Audie, you want to know who I am, go to audiwood.com. There's everything
A-D-I-Wood. About me. AdiWood.com. Check it out. Anyway, Audie, thank you so much for coming, sir. We will be back in just a few short minutes here. This is kind of like a Facebook Live exclusive show. This will also be up on the podcast as well, on iTunes and on Audio Boom. You guys can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch, on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation, on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation, and you can follow us on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. And please donate to the pod at patreon.com/TheNerdWatch. For those of you that are paying attention, if we have an opportunity, we may go Facebook Live again. We're going to take some time to talk to Mr. James Silvani. We'll get some nerd news in, which will be a lot of fun. So until next episode, which should be in a few short minutes, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, we say to you guys, aloha.